Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in and make yourself comfortable. We have got an excellent show for you today. The readings are powerful. We're going to open up the Word of God and let the Lord speak to us. And for the next 30 minutes, you and I, we're going to be together, hang out, and share the Lord's Word for us on this day. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for helping me to publicize the fact that the Gary Zimak Show is available on many Catholic radio stations and through many Catholic podcasting outlets. Every week we pick up more listeners to this program, and I would appreciate if you could continue to let people know about this program. You could send them directly to my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. That's followingthetruth.com for more information about this program, my books, how to invite me to speak. All that you need to know about me can be found at followingthetruth.com. Well, as has been the case for the past several weeks, our readings are a little bit longer, especially the gospel, so I want to get right to it. First, we'll do what we do at the start of every program. Do you know what that is? Very good. We pray because we want to ask the... See, I heard what you said. I can't really hear what you said, but I knew that if you were listening to this program for any amount of time, you know that I pray each week. It's so important to start that way. So let's place ourselves in the presence of our Heavenly Father right now as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, how can I ever thank you enough for creating me, for giving all of us this new day, for being so good to us through your love. Constantly you bless us, and we could see evidence of your blessing all around us if we look close enough. Father, we turn to you with our needs this day. We turn to you with grateful hearts. We ask you to help us, to open our minds and our hearts so that we're able to hear you speak to us through the pages of the Bible. Father, please use me as your instrument today. Grant me a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit so I'm able to deliver the message that you have for us today. And again, open our minds and our hearts so that we can hear and respond to your words. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we recognize that all glory and honor is yours. And we ask for all of these things, all of our needs, through the holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. Now, I want to get right into these Mass readings. And if you're just tuning in, let me reintroduce myself. My name is Gary Zimak. The name of this program, very cleverly titled, is the Gary Zimak Show, and I'm so glad to be able to join with you each week and look at the Sunday Mass readings, which is what we do on the show each week. This week, we're going to be looking at the readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And you know, I've been looking at the Gospel and all of the readings for today, and once again, this is a tough message, but I always turn to the Holy Spirit. I say, Spirit, I want to deliver the good news, because all of this is good news, even if it sounds a little tough at times. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. And honestly, there is good news with this message. But the Lord's going to stretch us once again, because that's what he does. If we are to have a true and dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ, then we've got to just not open to the Bible to our favorite verses all the time. We have to let him speak to us through the Bible, which he does. He's going to do that today in a very big way. As I do on the program each week, I start out with the gospel because the gospel is really driving the train, if you will. That's what happens. I kind of say that every week, but it's true. Everything follows the gospel. So a first reading, a responsorial psalm is picked to support the message of the gospel. And a lot of times, that's the way you're going to understand the main message that the church has for us through these readings, by looking at the gospel and then look at the first reading and the responsorial psalm. You'll get an idea of where we're going with this. Okay, so let's first begin with the gospel, which comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. This follows immediately after last week's gospel, all about the prodigal son. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called his master's debtors in one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then he said to another, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of the world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Now, as we bring this gospel to a close, and I know your head's probably spinning, this is one of those gospels that makes us scratch our heads and say, what is Jesus getting at here? What is he talking about? And even the very last sentence is confusing. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is an Aramaic word. Jesus spoke Aramaic, which is a spoken form of Hebrew, and it generally means wealth or money. You cannot serve God and money. That really sums up this message in the gospel. So you say, Gary, okay, you said you have good news for us. What's the good news out of this one? Well, yes, this is a challenge for each of us. This is a reminder for each of us. We have been entrusted with many things. Some of us have more money than others. You might be very wealthy. You might have very little money. But still, the Lord gives each of us something. Anything we do happen to have, be it a great amount or very little, is a gift from the God. So in effect, we are stewards of everything we have, just like this steward in the story. He's managing his master's affairs. You're managing money, possessions, your time, talent, treasure, right? This is what each one of us is entrusted with by God. How are we going to manage it? You cannot serve both God and money. That really is the message. Now, what's the good news? The good news is that when we were created, we weren't just created to flounder and get by in this world. We were created to live with God forever in heaven. Eternity, forever. For all of eternity, that's what our goal should be in life, to become a saint, to live in heaven with the Lord. That means, unfortunately for us, that there's work to do here. even though Jesus Christ, by virtue of his death and resurrection, opened up the gates of heaven for us, we have been redeemed. He made it possible for us to live with him in heaven. We still have to do our part to cooperate with the grace he gives us. In other words, we have to follow him. We have to follow Jesus Christ every day, managing our money, using it in a prudent way. That's part of the deal, and that's the message that the Lord is giving us. But the good news is we've been guaranteed or promised heaven. All we have to do is walk with the Lord and cooperate with him, and we got it made. You know, we don't want to make too big of a deal out of this. We just have to listen. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? Because things get in the way, and sometimes it's hard to part with our money, even though that's what we're supposed to do. Now, the Alleluia verse prior to the gospel, I want to read that because that gives us a little bit of a feel for this gospel as well. Though our Lord Jesus Christ was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty you may become rich. Even though we tend to find security in possessions and in wealth, the Lord wants us to be generous with what we have. In other words, not give it all away, but prayerfully consider how much we really need. And oftentimes, I have learned this lesson. This is challenging for us, but it's something we each have to do, to ask ourselves, do I really need this? Or can somebody, maybe somebody who's starving, living in poverty, can somebody use some of my money more than I can? Because a lot of times, and it's easy to fall into this trap, we confuse what we want with what we need. We say, I need this, but do we really? Do we need it or do we want it? And that's really a decision that each of us has to make. I know many people who have a great amount of money in the bank. They're wealthy, but they're incredibly generous with what they have. It's not a sin to possess money, and I think we've talked about this on the show. What becomes a sin, what becomes a problem, is when we're greedy, when we start stockpiling what we have and we place our security in wealth or in possessions. That's where it becomes a problem. This whole parable is confusing, but really what's taking place here, we have a steward, somebody who's in charge of his master's possessions, taking care of them. He's the property manager, if you want to call him that. And he messed up. He's doing a bad job. So his master comes to him in the parable and says, you're messing up. I'm taking your position away. You're going to be relieved of your duties. He's going to lose his job is what's happening. Now, this steward, he's too old to dig and do manual labor to make money. That's what he says. And he's too proud to beg. Pretty interesting. He's too proud to beg. He is too old to do any manual labor. So what does he do? He comes up with a scheme whereby he's going to essentially steal money from his master. You know, it's funny. He's too proud to beg, but he's not too proud to steal or cheat. I mean, the guy's a little messed up with his logic here. So what he does is all of these people that owe his master money, the steward calls them in. He says to them, how much do you owe my master? $100. Tell you what, I'm going to give you a chance to get out of that debt. Write me a check for $50. And I realize I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what's happening. But that's not his money to play with. But what he's doing is he's looking to gain favor with the people he's helping out. Listen, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to reduce your debt. His master didn't give him permission to do this, but this guy is hoping that one of these people he helps out is going to take him in once he loses his job. Not a very ethical thing to do, but if you notice, the master praises him not for being ethical, but for being shrewd, for being prudent, for coming up with this scheme to ensure that he has a place to live once his job is over. Jesus often uses these crazy parables not to endorse wrongdoing. That's not what he's doing. He's trying to get the attention of his listeners. He wants to shake us and wake us up. Just as in his day, we fall into that same boat sometimes. We get lulled into this sense of complacency or boredom or whatever it is, and we've heard these messages over and over, and we tune them out. because they're too familiar to us. He wants to shake us up. Now, this does shake us up when we first hear it, because we think he is condoning this immoral activity. He's not. What he's saying is that the people of this world, the people who live for this world, in other words, people who don't really care about getting to heaven, they're focused on having a good time in this world, kind of like this steward was. He just didn't care about doing the right thing. He just wanted to make sure that he had a place to live once he lost his job. Those people are more creative oftentimes than those of us who are disciples of Jesus. Sometimes we take it for granted we're going to go to heaven. This guy's concerned about his future. Now, let me ask you, are you concerned about your future, living in heaven eternally? Oftentimes, I hate to say it, but we zone out and we're not as concerned as we should be. That's the message Jesus is saying. You've been given money. Money is one of the biggest tests given to us by God. You know, we could look at this gospel and say, well, he's not necessarily talking about money, but listen to how Jesus finishes. He really is talking about money. The word mammon indicates wealth or treasure or money. It's translated in several Bibles translations as money. And I think sometimes we kid ourselves and we say, well, he's not really talking only about money. Why do we do that? Because we want to keep our money. It's hard to part with our money, especially if we don't have a lot of it. Or even if we do have a lot of it, we always want to have a little bit more. Jesus is testing us. He's saying, I am your master. You are my stewards. I have given you this treasure, whatever it may be. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot. Anything we have is given to us by the Lord. How are you going to use it? Are you going to hoard it? Are you going to spend it all on yourself? Or are you going to help others? Because you can use money to evangelize. You can use money to be Jesus to those around you, those in need. People could use, even if you have a little bit of money, there is somebody that has less than you and they can use it. And I'm not telling you to be irresponsible. Please don't do that. You have bills to pay. You pay your bills. But what we need to do is look inside and say, am I spending too much? And that's going to be different for every one of us. Maybe that $2 cup of coffee that we get from the convenience store, maybe that's too much. Maybe that can be given up. I'm not saying that you do have to give that up, but it's going to be different for everybody. We all have different standards of living, but just ask yourself that question and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand, do I really need this or can I share my money with others? And that's what Jesus is saying. We should think about our heavenly reward and not really go after the reward. I think sometimes we get that twisted. I was talking about this in a men's gospel reflection group earlier today, actually. We were talking about this particular gospel, saying that, and one of the guys brought up a really good point, we should seek to live forever with the Lord in heaven, but that shouldn't be our main goal. Our main goal should be to love the Lord. Sure, we're going to get the reward and live with him forever in heaven, but if all we're thinking about is, this is what I want, I'm going to be nice to this guy because it'll get me to heaven. Well, that's really having the wrong focus. And sometimes we get a little confused about that. It's okay to think about heaven, but the more important thing to do is think about the Lord, how much he loves you, how much he's given you, and what you can do to express your love for him. And then eventually that will turn into, I can't wait to get to heaven, not so I can live a life of comfort, but so I can live forever with the Lord because I love him so much. I want to be in his presence. So yeah, keep your eye on heaven, but don't lose sight of the fact that our main goal in life is to try to serve the Lord. That comes with time. That's not something that most of us are born with. We tend to be a little greedy sometimes, and we have this what's in it for me mentality. I'll be honest, I struggle with that. And that comes with our fallen human nature. So that's what this parable is all about. And we'll see it when we look at the first reading. Jesus became poor. He gave away his position. He lowered himself, as we heard in that response to this gospel. He lowered himself so that you and me, we could become rich. Jesus became one of us. He stepped out of heaven, if you will, to enter our world so he could suffer, die on the cross, and rise from the dead so you and I, the people who deserve to be on the cross, so we can live with him forever in heaven. By you voluntarily giving away some of your money And yes, you can say your time as well. We could put that in there. By you voluntarily making yourself a little bit more poor, guess who you're imitating? You got it. You are imitating Jesus. Let's look at the first reading now. And it really underscores the point of this message, that this is all about being generous and helping the poor. The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Amos, beginning in chapter 8, verse 4. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. Here we see in this story from the book of the prophet Amos about merchants cheating the poor, trying to pull a fast one, being greedy. And that's how we can tell that Jesus is talking about, what are we doing for the poor? How can we use some of what we've been given to imitate the Lord and freely give it away? We want to be careful that we don't become greedy. A lot of times we don't even think about this. But just remember what Jesus has done for us. It's incredible what he's done for us. He suffered willingly. He came down to earth, endured years of humiliation and inconvenience, right? He did that for us, and he asks us to do the same thing. We're called to imitate Jesus in life, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to transform us into other Christs. Sometimes it seems like, man, I got a lot of work to do, and the Holy Spirit has a lot of work to do. Absolutely, but that's our goal. Our goal is to become saints, to become as close to Christ as we can. And man, for somebody like me, that's going to take a lifetime. Actually, for all of us, it's going to take a lifetime, but that's okay. One day at a time, that's the way we look at it. Now, the responsorial psalm, again, you're going to hear that emphasis on the poor. God cares about the poor. And the rich, when you hear that rich, this is not strictly talking about somebody who has a lot of money. We can have somebody with a lot of money in life, but they can be poor in spirit, which means they're detached from their wealth. You see the difference? That's what the Lord's talking about. Psalm 113 is our responsorial psalm. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. The poor can't lift themselves up. See, that's us. But there are other people that the Lord expects us to lift up. You can lift somebody up today by making a donation to a charity, by giving some to your church. And then, yes, you can give of your time as well. There are things we can do to help other people. Praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. High above all the nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below? He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor, to seat them with princes, with the princes of his own people. You know, one day the playing field will be leveled. Right now in this life, you could easily say life isn't fair. The rich, they get a lot of breaks. They are shown a lot of favoritism. They seem to get whatever they want. That's true in this world. But we weren't created just for this world. We are called to look at our life from an eternal perspective. We're created to live not just here on earth, where, yes, it isn't fair, but forever. And once we get to heaven, it's going to be all different. Just because somebody has a lot of money or is very successful or has a lot of friends doesn't give them an advantage over somebody who doesn't. Somebody who's lowly. Everybody looks down on this person. We're all created equal in the eyes of God. And boy, that's something we all need to remember. You don't hear that message very often. Let me look at the second reading now. It comes from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands, without anger or argument. Did you catch that line from St. Paul here? That God wills everyone to be saved. In other words, this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, that we were all created to live with the Lord forever in heaven. He wills everybody to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. Now, there are people in the world, there are people in your life, and honestly, we all need to be enlightened as to the truth of Jesus Christ. We need to learn more every day about Christ, about his teachings, about the church. I mean, there's always something to learn. The Catholic faith has an incredible depth. But God wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to know the truth. Now, some of us, we really love our Catholic faith. Chances are, if you're listening to this program, you're one of those people. Good job. But it doesn't mean that you just stay and open your prayer book and your catechism and you keep to yourself. No, the Lord is counting on you because you are rich, maybe not materially, but in general, all of us who are Catholic, we have this treasure, this great treasure of the Catholic faith. We're supposed to share that with those who may be poor in terms of their knowledge. They might not even know anything about Jesus, or they might go to Mass every week but still don't know about Jesus. That's up to us. So yes, we have to take care of the needs of the poor. We can't get away with that. No matter what we have, we are expected to share what little or the tremendous amount we have, whatever it is, with others. Monetarily, we can't get out of that. But again, we're not supposed to use our rent money or our food money. But is there any way we can cut back so that we can help support those who are starving and who need extra help? We're called to do that. But we also need to do it with knowledge, with love. If somebody doesn't know about Jesus, it's up to me to tell them about him. Okay? That's the message. And if we do that, we are on our way to becoming saints and living with the Lord forever in heaven. Amen. I got through all the readings today. So good. I mean, this is such a great message. I would recommend you go back and read these readings, meditate upon them, and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what more can I do? Can I help the poor in any way? All right, I got to run. Remember to check out the website, followingthetruth.com. If you're able to make a donation to help my full-time ministry, you can do that there as well, followingthetruth.com. I would be so grateful. You're in my prayers. I would ask you to keep praying for me. And God willing, I look forward to catching you next week right here on the Gary Zimak Show. God bless you. Take care.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.